Barça, Messi, Iniesta, Messi.
Has got more curves to it than Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Oh, can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Calhanoglu pull that one from?
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Müller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant.
Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, beating Patrick Vieira. Ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight, Joe will be with us in the studio. We're going to talk about the Champions League final recap. We're also going to talk about a little bit of the Women's World Cup and some issues that we've come across watching. And also, we might dive into a little bit of a TFC. So as usual, you can reach us at the website, footballweekly.com. That's FUTBOLweekly.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, and TuneIn. You can interact with us on Twitter individually. Joe's Twitter address is JoeCola4. That's JoeCola, the number four. My Twitter handle is @Reginaldinho_5. If you have anything to say to us, there's also a forum you can join in, the Football Weekly forum, where you can talk about different things going on in football. If you have anything you want to post in there, other members can respond to it, and I'll definitely look at it and respond to it as well. There's numbers of different ways you can actually subscribe to our podcast through podcatchers. You can subscribe via email, and there's a built-in player on the website as well. Like I said last week, it's revamped, redone. I think it looks great. Go check it out. So with all that being said, we're going to get right into it. We've got a busy show. Next week's show is going to be strictly on transfer rumors and maybe a little bit of the Copa America, but I doubt we'll have time for Copa America because there's tons of transfer rumors out there for all the leagues out there. So I doubt we'll be able to hit Copa America. Maybe the next weekend we can look after Copa America. But sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this. So in the first segment of the show, we're going to talk about Champions League final recap, Juve versus Barcelona. And I know I said last week that it was going to be a slaughterhouse and that, well, actually, you know what, Joe?
We did call the score, didn't we?
I think we did.
Said that they'd make it close. And
I think I said 3-0.
And I said that they would concede.
Yes.
So what we're saying is I'm right.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Yeah. It was a game. I mean, on the score. On the score sheet. You know, I mean, listen, it wasn't, it's what we thought was going to happen. I think it's, you know, many people have said it, but I think we're both in agreement here that just getting there for them, Juventus was a great run in the tournament. I mean, they had a great showing. I mean, you're losing to Barcelona, or if you lost to Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, I mean, they proved that they belong.
Right.
Just that, you know, they went against a team that was, hey, newsflash, they're very good.
Loaded.
Yeah. I mean, loaded. They made it. I mean, Morata, again, with good run of form, you know, and scoring that goal. I mean, they were in it. You know, there was 1-1, I think, at the 57th minute.
Right.
So, you know, Barcelona found the winner. And again, you know, I mean, and Buffon, again, he's just, he kept him in that game too. He made some great saves. He made a great save off Dan, on Dani Alves.
What a save that was.
It was fantastic. He's going the other way.
Yeah, my God.
Just athletically, he's so good. And you could tell, you know, the Barcelona players also respect him too that way too. But, you know, they 3-1. Barcelona is always going to concede. I hate hearing this stuff about, oh, yeah, you see their defense. Well, you know, I'm sick of hearing this. The days of having great center backs who just dominate games, they're done, I think. You know, they're done. The game has changed so much. You're defending everywhere on the field.
Right.
You're defending higher.
All players are defending now, all too.
Great point, right? They're all defending. So
they should be defending anyway.
Yeah, you heard this stuff like, oh, you know, but they're susceptible at the back. Okay.
Yeah, really.
Like, all right.
You know?
I don't get that. I don't understand that. The game has changed. The game has changed.
Right.
Like, we've been saying this forever here, so I think that played out how we thought it would play out. If we look at the possession numbers, I'm pretty sure, what do you think, Reg? Barcelona was in the 60s.
Sure, for sure they were.
Juve was 30, high 30s, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But another key point in this, the final, and we've mentioned center backs, Giorgio Chiellini didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, so the score might have been 6-1.
Well, I was about to say when you were talking about the save that Buffon made, that mm-hmm. if that goal goes in, I think the floodgates open.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's not a game anymore.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to, again, he deserves a lot of praise.
Sure he does.
Because that save that you make or don't make, let's go back to another goalie who had, you know, a great history, but in his recent history has been awful, is Iker Casillas.
Right.
So look at him in the World Cup. Mm-hmm. You know, he starts to concede 1-2, and then, like you said, right, it's the floodgates open.
Right.
So if Buffon doesn't make that save, you know, that belief thing, right?
Right.
And he gave his team some belief. And this guy, you know, like, it was a nice story. Everybody wanted to have him win in Berlin like he did in 06 and all that stuff.
Well,
but,
I don't know about, you know, everybody, but
yeah. Yeah. The people who wanted him to win.
Yeah.
Right? But again, it's just, they were just, how do you stop that quality? Eventually, something's going to happen. I mean, Neymar, Suarez, Messi, they put their imprint on the game.
Well, that's what it is, right? These guys are too good to be all three of, to shut down all three of them. It's right. A task and a half.
Right. And then all this talk before, you know, leading up to this game, or the game, you know, Iniesta hasn't been himself. Right. Ho-hum, he's man of the match.
Right.
Hey, this is, you know, we've talked about this guy forever on this show this year, Rakitic. He's on the end of just what looked like a training ground move in the first goal.
Exactly.
You know, just
nice ball by Iniesta.
Oh, just everything was fantastic. And then again, training ground finish, Rakitic. It's not that Juventus was bad. I thought they were pretty good, actually. But just Barcelona, you picked the wrong time to play them. That's the fair enough thing I can say.
Vidal, is that the... I don't watch a lot of Serie A.
I mean, shocker.
I can't... First of all, you can't get it. Second of all,
that's true.
It's warm milk. It's like warm milk, man. But I don't watch a lot of Serie A, so I don't know if he plays like that all the time. But he always seems like he's... Well, this he's playing on the edge, right?
Yeah, I think that's what you're going to say about the reckless thing. This takes me back to what Vidal used to play like sometimes. His... You know, I'm not gonna say transformation. His, you know, great run of form leading up to this was, he hasn't been playing like he did in that game. I think, again, we forget, you know, the emotions take their toll, and they did for Arturo Vidal. And I thought he was out of the game. And we talked about this before. We talked about a key for Juventus keeping this not close, but maybe winning it. When we talked about it last previous week when we did our preview, was that those three in the midfield had to be, or the midfield players for Juventus had to be who they were, you know, and Vidal, Pogba, Marquisio, Pirlo, these guys had to be those special players.
Right.
And Vidal, yeah, it looked for me like he was thrown out of his game. Has he played like that in the recent past? No. He's been that controlled emotion, aggression, and he's channeled it into, you know, close enough to a box-to-box midfielder that they might have. And I thought he was lucky not to get sent off in this game.
For sure he was.
You know?
He got a yellow card, and then he made a tackle about 10 or 15 minutes later that if he didn't have a card already, it would have been a yellow.
Right. I totally agree. And like, you know that the instruction in the locker room must have been that, hey, listen, you know, you got one. Yeah, so it does change things, right? It changed things in a final. I mean, it changes things in league games when players are a bit more attention to detail with, you know, how they've been tackling and how they've been playing. But you can imagine in the immense stage that that was, absolutely it changed things for them. You know, I mean, they needed him to be a difference maker, I thought, in this game. And he was just average. And then, you know, could have been the difference maker the other way. Like you said, should have been sent off.
Yeah, for sure. Now, being a coach, Joe, I just want to ask you, I want to ask you a question. Juve come out tactically.
Interesting.
Did they, what did you see as part of their tactics in order to neutralize this front three and even the midfield three?
That's a good question because I've talked about this with someone else. I thought, okay, I know Barcelona scored in the fourth minute, but for the first 3 minutes or so, Juventus was pressing high.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this might be a good thing, but for how long?
Right.
Because if you remember, in those first 2 minutes, Mascherano gave up a corner, they gave up possession and had a shot on net or like that went toward the net.
Right.
Right. And I thought, wow, is this might be Allegri saying we're going for this.
Right.
I don't know if he would do it all game, but of course, goals change games.
Exactly.
And I think that's what you're saying is, well, you're doing that, but is that going to really work?
Can't work for 90, that's for sure.
Right. And then in the goal, I mean, Messi's picking up the ball pretty deep, so their press was off. Right. So I thought, wow, that was pretty – I would have kept it on. I mean, it was working. But then the goal changed things, and I think they said, hey, you know, I really believe they thought, like we said before, these floodgates might open up here.
Right, so now we got to lock it down a little bit.
Because I thought that was an interesting thing. And again, I think when coaches – you know, and people put in their game plan. Oftentimes the game plan, like I said, once a goal is scored, the game plan changes.
Right.
Even if you say, let's stick to it, we're going to stay with it, I think just internally, mentally, it changed. And I think that's what happened with Juve. I think they had a certain plan. You could say that, again, only 2 minutes that we saw it. Then the goal changed things.
Right.
Right? And they dropped off.
Yeah.
And they said, maybe we're going to go back to countering.
Yeah, you have to.
Right?
I think that's the only style you can play against Barcelona.
I tend to agree.
You would think that you're looking at Bayern Munich, for example, and saying that these guys are stacked in all areas of the field. This is going to be a great game. But
yeah.
And they tried to come out toe-to-toe and try to hit them with it. And Barcelona said, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think, again, down to personnel, right? And I think if we see Bayern last year, you know, you see, they were able to, because obviously they had their players in, like Ribery, Robin, changed things.
Right.
And you could play a certain way that, yeah, let's press the hell out of them because, you know, I mean, they're kind of the same in terms of their, you know, star power, right? Kind of. But the Juventus, I thought they had a game plan. I thought they started with it. And then, again, you're down 1-0.
Right.
And it changes things. So I really wanted to see, you know, if the game was 0-0 for longer, what would have been? Because if you remember, again, back to the common thing here we've been saying is goals change games. Morata equalizes.
Mm-hmm.
That game changed for about 5-6 minutes.
Right.
If not longer. Like, again, that belief thing started to come in. Because I don't think it was that far uneven in terms of what we thought it would be. But it is, you know, it's like that fighter who just kept punching and punching. And eventually the knockout blow is going to come.
Right. Okay, well, final score, 3-1. It's been a while. I forgot who scored. It was Neymar, Rakitic, and
Suarez.
Yeah, that's right. The rebound from Buffon's save. And
yeah.
Morata excited Real Madrid fans.
Yeah.
for a little bit, anyway. Yeah.
Made them forget about knocking them out.
That's true, too. So, great final. I thought it was a great game.
I thought so, too. Yeah.
I honestly, like I said last episode, thought it was going to be a slaughterhouse, and it wasn't. Which is good, because who wants to watch 6-0 Champions League final? You know, you've been waiting all year for this game. It's one of the games, I said last week, I compared it to the Super Bowl. And it's like, Super Bowl I can watch at home, I don't care. whatever. Unless my team's in it, it's like, okay, it's a good spectacle, whatever, whatever, whatever happens, who cares? But Champions League, it's like 2 weeks before I'm planning, okay, where are we going to watch it? You got, you know, like who's coming? Or I don't care. Well, let's go here. Let's go there.
And they've made it a bigger spectacle lately because of, you know, making the game on a Saturday.
Right.
Right. Remember, they used to have it in midweek.
Right.
Right. They have it on Saturday. You know, it's in June.
2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, right. So it's prime time in Europe and all that stuff. So, I mean, they've added to it. But, yeah, a good final for sure. Spectacle-wise, it was good. Amazing. You know, we mentioned before. So Neymar scores the third goal, and it goes right into just party. You know,
it
was pretty amazing, actually. You know, and they were partying with the fans, and the shirts came off, and it was like, boom. And it was like, you know, I was thinking, if, you know, you're broadcasting this game, wow, that ended a pretty cool way, like pretty, you know, fanfare. But
I thought the goal didn't count because he scored it, and then it was just, that's it. I just saw players running on the field, and I was like, that guy's going to get a yellow. Yeah. He's going to get a yellow.
Yeah.
He took off his shirt. He's getting a yellow. And it was just like, the game is done.
The ref kind of said, yeah, we're done here. Maybe the beer's cold.
So, yeah, it's like, wow.
And that was it.
The Heineken's cold.
Yeah, right? That's it. And the song came on. All that stuff, for sure. Right? Plug there, Heineken. Reggie said the right one.
That's it, eh?
There's going to be talk about, well, you know, what we think was going to happen. I think a lot of people, the Juventus supporters, I think this is my only, they really thought that, you know, this was, we always talk about humility and in world football, coaches and players talk about, you know, how things can go either way. And this destiny thing to me was bothering me.
Right.
Like, oh, they're destined to win. Listen, Allegri ain't telling them about no destiny.
Right.
You know, you know what? Hey, Buffon. You were in Berlin 2006. Guess what? That was 9 years ago.
Right.
Guess what? Different team, different situation. I hated hearing that. Right. Just an aside, I hated that. You know, okay, it would have been nice. Oh, it would have been a sweet story.
Yeah.
But, like, come on.
This is professional sports.
Yeah, right? Like, let's deal with what is. It's just like, you know, the halftime speech that you hear sometimes. It's like, yeah, there's always room for rah-rah. But, you know, how are we going to win? What are we going to do?
Right.
You know? And so, but anyway, I enjoyed it.
I thought it was a great game,
Me too.
I said, and I'm just, like I said, glad to see that it didn't turn into what I thought it was going
to
be.
And it's good to see goals, right?
Of course it is. Of course it is. But again, you can have for the soccer purists like us, you can have a 0-0 game that's more exciting than a 4-4 game.
Yeah, right? Well, that's us, right? We're not the, with all due respect, we're not the
average, typical,
for sure,
soccer watchers.
Yeah, and I'm choosing my words. Right. We're not the typical North American sports fan either. We understand that it's different.
Right.
You know, absolutely. 0-0 games could be crackers, right?
Yeah. Well, we know that we talked about the Europa League final, which was a cracker.
Oh,
and,
wow.
That there was goals in that. But again, purists like us, 0-0. I can watch a 0-0 game tactically and see what each team is doing in
for
order
sure
to neutralize the other team. It's great to watch if you're into it like that. But if you just want to, if you want to watch basketball and have teams score 180 points every game, well then
that's a different topic for you. That's an interesting one too. We need to get on to it in another show.
exactly. So we're also, as we were talking, I was reminding myself that we didn't talk about the FA Cup final.
Whoa, Reggie!
Thank you.
Back to back champs.
Sure are. And
you did predict this one.
I said Benteke was going to score, and he didn't. I don't think he came close to.
Well, you
even
said it was going to be a romp, right?
I said it was going to be a romp.
I
think I said 3-0.
I
or 3-1.
I was wrong.
And Benteke was going to score. And it
turned out, now become this hot commodity again.
Yeah, I don't. I saw him play. I saw Belgium play Wales last week.
Ooh, that's a big one too.
Euro qualifier didn't stand out to me. I mean, he's probably great in he's great in the EPL. He's just a big guy. He gets about, you know, in the air, fantastic. But I think when you're I don't know, man. It's Lukaku or Benteke. I don't know who you put up there. As you're starting forward, if you put both or I don't think they only play with one striker, so I don't know if it's Lukaku or Benteke.
If it's today, I guess you have to go with Benteke. But I mean, Lukaku's been so good internationally for them too, right?
He has been.
But I mean, good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have.
Because for a while, Benteke went missing.
You got to score though.
Yeah. Well, what's the old thing as a striker? I always say, you got to be scoring or you have to be creating.
That's it.
It's one of the two. If you're doing neither, then you're me. You know, I mean, like, what are you doing? I mean, this thing of this player's got to play because he's who he is. I mean, he's got to be doing something.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's, well, there's Belgium again.
We've talked
about them being the biggest hype machine and people are going to hate us. What do you mean? They got this guy, man. And that guy.
Yeah.
They do. You're right. What are they doing?
They don't do anything with them, though.
You know, and one tournament does not make you a world power.
We're second in the world now. Well, like, FIFA rankings
are fantastic, aren't they?
Who has the? Well, I'm not even going to get into that. We're still going to do a FIFA show, but Belgium's second in the FIFA rankings, like, if you can believe it. But
they're as much of a joke as, yeah, exactly what the show that we need to do is on these guys that are a joke. And right. Even their rankings are just, well, they represent what they are.
Well,
Bad. Confusing. Bad.
is what they are.
So
bad. So Arsenal won that FA Cup 4-0.
And I didn't call that. I said it would be close. I got it. Yep.
And if you watch the game, it wasn't
a game.
It wasn't even a game. I have a buddy of mine that plays on my Friday night team who's from Aston Villa, the area. So he was watching it, and it was just like, he couldn't believe it. He was like, you wait so long to make a final like this, and you come out and play like that.
And
I don't think it was. I don't think it was so much that Arsenal was just like so dominant coming out. It was
Villa
just like
was dead.
Villa didn't play like
they rolled over
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Almost happy to be there, and you think, wow, you know, you got nothing. All the, I mean, it's obvious. All the pressure is on the big team,
right? Of course,
in these games, right? I think that's why you see so many upsets in the FA Cup.
But that's why you come out and just you come out in the game and you just give it because.
Yeah.
They're going to be tight because they're supposed to come out here and beat you 5-0.
And as each minute goes on, exactly. And that was the problem.
Exactly.
Not many minutes went on and they were up.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, for the spectacle, it wasn't. If you're an Arsenal fan like you, Reg, you were home and cool.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? Cracking open a couple beers, watching the game.
That's it.
Right?
But if you don't support Aston Villa or Arsenal and you're watching this game, it's just
dry.
Like, it looks like men against boys and it's like, it's boring.
See, there's Arsenal getting the, a few years ago we're bothering Wenger for not winning trophies. No, mm-hmm. I know they're FA Cups, but hey,
mm-hmm.
The domestic cups have been more important. They've right. never been more important, I don't think, in the last 10 years than they are now.
Right.
I think everybody could say, and he's got another one.
Yeah, back to back, so good on him. But now we got a FA Cup, like you said, it's great, but now we got a challenge for leagues and Champions League, because this losing in the quarterfinals of the Champions
you're done
League,
with it?
I'm done. I'm done. Monaco taking you out of the Champions League. I'm finished with that stuff. So next week we're gonna have a transfer show. We're gonna get Joseph and Edson to get on, and we're gonna talk about all the transfer rumors, what teams are doing what, who's going where,
and a good segue because we will have Edson on again. If you guys are our avid listeners, or if you want to go back and listen to it, we had the show with myself, Edson, and Reggie, when I did a little therapy.
Oh, yeah, that's
Arsenal
right.
Fans.
That's right.
So
we're Champions League.
We'll have the finale of that next week. And yeah. I don't know, but I would be tuning in if I were you.
Well, I think we're okay now. I think that trophy.
So we'll have the wrap up.
We'll have the wrap up, yeah.
As we look forward to next year.
And you can give us your bill, so.
Yeah. That's right. But lots of rumors. Sorry, Reggie, just so you guys know, next week there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh.
And this is the fun times, right? This is the Monopoly time. We get to play around with that. So,
there always seems to be a tournament going on during the transfer window. The Copa America is going on right now, so if you're in line to sign a South American player, you got to wait till the tournament's over. I'm sure things are going on and things are signed and people are talking to each other, but for the announcement and everything, you got to wait till the tournament's over.
Yeah.
So if your team's sitting around and you're like, what the hell are these guys doing? Like, Arsenal. And, you know, and then after the tournament's come, then you got like four or five guys coming in from different parts of the world and different parts of the world and even South America. I think Arsenal's a type of team that doesn't want to have, okay, we signed one guy 2 weeks ago, now we're going to sign another guy 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We just want to introduce all five of the new guys at once.
Yeah.
That's what they do with their transfers anyway.
And that's been their history.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. He has to do something. He's got to do something, but
yeah, and he will. I think
he will too. But
you know, like it's like you said, waiting to see who's available is a big one.
Well, things are happening at the club, and we'll talk about it next week. I'm not gonna gonna tell you now, but well, I'll tell you off the air. But things are happening at the club that is lending for Arsenal fans to believe that there's a major signing coming. Has to be because.
Well, the money's there.
The money's there, and
the opportunity's there.
The move that you're making behind the scenes leads people to believe that. Well, why would they do that? Something has to be coming.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about it next week.
Okay, so that's why tune in.
Tune in for sure. Transfer. What are we gonna call it? The Football Weekly Transfer Show. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I mean we're really original right now, me and you. But yeah, Transfer fever,
sure. Something like that.
You'll get the fever next week. Yep, the cheese is. Rolling in.
So now we're going to move on to talk about our beloved TFC. We're not going to spend too much time on TFC.
We got breaking news on them too, right, Reggie? You know that?
Do we?
Yeah. So yesterday at training, ex-Parma player, former Italian international, two appearances, but I guess you got to call him that. Daniele Galoppa. Name Galoppa.
Never heard of him.
From Parma. Yeah, decent player.
What does he play?
I think he's a midfielder, though. Think he's, don't quote me on it, but I think he was a midfielder. I think probably because of Javinko's connection. They share the same agent.
There we go.
And he was in training yesterday as a trialist.
TFC?
Yeah.
How old?
He was at the training ground. He's mid-20s, I'm going to say. Did you say how old he was, Reggie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So again, Serie A experience. Played for the Italian national team. I think he made one or two appearances. But he was in training yesterday as a trialist.
Designated?
I don't know if he'd be a designated. That's a good question. I don't think so. At this point, they're just calling him on trial. So we shall see. I'm pretty sure Javinko would love a teammate here.
Who leaves the midfield now?
Great question.
Sheru's great.
I don't know if he's. I think he could play
on the wing.
Yeah, and
so we can get rid of Jackson.
Yeah, tell me how you really feel.
Terrible.
But you never know. They might even make this guy a wing back, right?
Oh yeah. So you get rid of Ashton Morgan.
But you know that Ashton Morgan, who I've been, and I don't want to. You know he is. Reg, do you believe he's going to be there? They're advertising to vote for him for the MLS All-Star Game.
Who?
Ashton Morgan.
Which? There's another one.
Feel bad. I have to
I know.
they are saying listen, okay, Reggie's gonna echo.
I'll be the voice of reason here if you want.
Yes, please, because
here's what I'm gonna say. Okay, actually, you know what, finish what you were gonna say and then
has he improved? But let's remember where he came from. I mean, I've been critical of him on here too. I'm not trying to bash you guys. Listen, I'm a guy who still supports Daniil Henry, even though, he did struggle. He's young. He's going to be better. He's going to be great.
I think he's going to be pretty good, too.
Me too. I really think that. I just think it speaks to what lacks in MLS and what there's certain drop-offs. I mean, so let's just leave it at that. I have to be politically correct for that, but I think you guys
read
between the lines. But
I don't.
You know? But, yeah.
Well, listen. I'm not gonna come out here and say this guy's garbage. That guy's garbage. Okay. I mean, everyone's trying their best to do whatever.
Well, they are a professional team, right?
Of course.
And we are 7 years, 8 years, and not made the playoffs. So
right. But that's not Ashton Morgan's fault.
No.
But we're also 100%. Putting him in a position where we're talking about him being an MLS All-Star. So now we're going to be expecting more from this guy. And when he doesn't deliver, this guy's garbage. And maybe we're heaping too much pressure on him as a player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, as of now, 2-3 years ago, this guy, I know guys that I play with Sunday nights that could probably play better than him.
Out there. It was scary.
And especially when Daniel Henry and him were on the same side, center and whatever wing it was. Oh, it was a nightmare.
Yeah. Too young and too inexperienced, really.
But that's the thing, right? Yeah. They were young. I don't know where they were coming from.
I think he reaped the benefit of this year being beside or around, not necessarily right beside, but around veteran players.
Right.
Who've been there, done it.
Right.
And it's helped them. I mean, good for Ashton Morgan, but.
Yeah, and I think he has improved. I mean,
where was he? Is what I'm saying.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say that next, but I mean, it's hard to get worse, right?
Listen, yes, can we? It's okay if we move on now. Well, no, listen. It's the expectation level, and for us, the expectation level is high. Yeah. If you guys tune in, we know our expectation level is high.
Right.
On those things.
Now it's high because it's the ninth year.
Right. And no playoffs. So,
and you know what? We're at the same spot we were in the first year.
That's right. So for myself, just personally, I think, you know, he was allowed a lot of growing because of the fact that he did come to the academy. He is Canadian. So that's fine. That I'll live with. But in terms of maybe those chances could have come, there could have been less of them because we needed to get, you know, something out of it. I mean, there's no secret. Our back line since day one of this franchise has been suspect at best. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get some stability, and maybe you're starting to see the results. And, oh, yeah, ho-hum, you know, Giovinco and Altidore are absolutely coming through.
Giovinco, listen, okay, I'm not, you know me, I'm not the type of guy that feeds into the hype, okay? Mm-hmm. When it first comes, I want to see you do whatever you're supposed to be doing, and then I'll make my decision off that. But this guy,
he's doing it.
I didn't think he would be doing what he's doing right now. Yeah, but this guy is amazing.
Yeah, he's proved a couple things for me. Like, this is the guy. What was he going to get in Europe? Was he going to get other looks? Yeah, maybe. But you think he made a great career choice.
Well, for sure he did.
$7.5 million or $7 million.
Sure.
And he's lighting it up.
Oh, but yeah, and he's earning
he's
the money.
He's earning it. Yeah, totally is. For sure he is. And he's proving his step above, like he's just class this field. Like he's dangerous every time, you know, he's in the final third, he's, you know, he's scoring goals, he's creating. Like you said, he's earning it. He's earning his keep.
He's earning it for sure.
And Altidore's been great too. I mean, we lose sight of, I mean, not only scoring goals, but, you know, even in one of the games previously, like he comes on, you know, ball gets played to him, dummy,
yep.
You know, and Giovinco picks it up. And
that's it.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious now if you're any team in MLS. Hey, guys, maybe you can't leave him without pressure on the ball because he can shoot too. So
and it's just refreshing to see, and I'm talking about Altidore and Giovinco. Giovinco probably doesn't know as much English as he would like mm-hmm. to play on the field with guys that are pretty much English speaking, and I know Bradley played in Roma, so he's probably
relaying
some of the information to him in Italian. But it's just the two football brains that don't need to speak and know exactly where each other are. And I'm, you know, why you're making that run, I'm going to dummy it. You don't have to tell me anything.
It's that line we always.
It's beautiful. Talk about. Yeah. It's beautiful.
The
it's
language
finally.
Of football.
Exactly.
Right? They get it.
Two football brains are talking to each other. Yeah. You don't need to speak the same language.
Yeah, and conversely, if you know, sometimes I know I've been a two games, and you see sometimes Giovinco converse on the other side of it, he is openly looking at who to avoid sometimes, and
being
frustrated. But again, that's just his competitive nature. He's not being a bad teammate.
Well, no. You know,
all reports are that he's a great teammate, so that's good, and he's likable. But you could tell, right? Like, just what Reggie's saying is that, you know, the understanding that comes with great athletes and athletes who play at a high level, it sees no border with language or yada yada yada, right? He's just fantastic. He's been fantastic. Let's call it. Yes. He's the MVP of the MLS.
I think so. If he keeps on going this way, how can he not be? And to further your point about looking off guys, I used to have a coach, and he'd pull us guys aside and be like, "Look, guys, there's a good pass, and then there's the right pass." Sometimes the good pass isn't the right pass, depending on who it's going to.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Do you understand what
you
I mean?
You got me?
And it's just like, yes, I understand. Yes.
Understood.
So if that guy's wide open and he can't control his coughing, then okay, we can't pass.
You know, like the guy in the Sunday men's league who says, "I don't care if I have six guys on me," which I don't know what league you're playing with six guys on you.
Yeah.
Pass me the ball.
Yeah.
We won't mention names. We got it.
We know.
That's a friendly dig.
That's an inside joke, I guess. So I'm actually, and I don't know, you can't believe this, but I'm actually debating
going to a game
tomorrow.
Wow. I think you might have my ticket.
I think me and a buddy are going to go down. If it's a nice day, like it has been this past couple of weeks,
which it's going to be.
If it's a nice day, David Villa is here. I don't know if Lampard is
Reggie,
here yet.
It's D Rose testimonial.
Oh, is it?
I think it's tomorrow. Don't quote me on it.
Well,
are they having it tomorrow?
I'm 70%.
I think why Reggie's going to go, guys, never mind, because it's Italian Heritage Day.
Oh, is it?
And I think that's why he wants to go.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So maybe it changes his mind.
No, it's not going to change. It's not going to change his mind.
Listen.
All my friends are pretty much Italian anyway, so what the hell?
Yeah. No, but David Villa, for sure. New York City FC, of course. Yeah. I mean, listen, this league is, we've talked about it before, it's picking up steam. Players are coming younger and earlier. And hey, Giovinco is an absolutely
great buy.
Yeah, and he's at the forefront of this. So
great buy, and he has another. We have him for another 4 years.
Yeah, let's hope we get to where we're supposed to be with him.
Well, you know what? The way they're playing now, I think they should make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what.
And they'll probably be dangerous in the playoffs.
I don't think anybody would want to play them.
No, that's for sure.
So you know,
and not here too.
And I still think, like I said, Giovinco's. Of course, we've talked about him, but the big if. Is Jose Altidore staying healthy? Because he's already had a little bit of injury.
Yeah. But he always had a hamstring, right?
Absolutely. But he's so built for the MLS, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he's so built for the MLS. So let's just hope.
Yeah. I'm seriously, guys, we're not going to have a lot of things to bitch about if it keeps going like this. But, you know, we're kind of nitpicking on certain stuff. But we're used to having a team that's terrible.
And so I guess the call for Greg Vanney's head has been quelled. And I guess he can thank... You know, Seba Giovinco for that. So
I mean, they're playing soccer properly now. Whether it's the guys that you have that know how to play the game and they're just playing it, or whether it's the coach,
implementing
all that stuff. But
yeah, for sure. For me, I'll leave it at this. Yeah. Like, you know, we've talked about this before. You win games, and the players are the ones that it should be about, and it should be.
Right.
You know, because the players are doing what they should be. Sebastian Giovinco is being who he's supposed to be, and on and on and on.
Right.
When you lose those games. You can't, focus on both, but the focus comes on the coach. And that's just, you know, it's the nature of the job. You're hired to be fired. I know it's a cliche. It works in every angle, but that's how it is. When you're winning, they ain't talking about the coach. And they shouldn't be. They should be talking about what's happening on the field.
Exactly. So, anyway. But I think Vanny's doing a better job. Maybe to get the guys on the same page and consistent and comfortable with each other. I know that takes time.
Yep.
And I think it's all coming together now. So,
and when you win, like whatever he starts to say makes a lot more sense, right? Because when you're winning, you're going to buy in more too. So,
right for sure,
hand in hand, right?
So they play 3 games in the next 7 days. They play tomorrow, Saturday, the 20th. They play the 24th, and they play the 27th, all at home because they started that. They started the season 7 on the road. Yeah, so the majority of the games in July, June, July, and August are going to be at home. So, you know, might even go to the Montreal game during the week.
Might get Reggie to go to a couple games.
Sure. Amazing. If they keep playing the way they're playing, it's value for my money.
Yeah.
Okay? And I won't complain about buying a $12 beer. If they're winning.
Yeah. Either way, you're going to need it, right? Well, you're going to need it to celebrate, or you're going to need it to drown tears away. So
that's it. That's
win.
That's it. So we're going to move on to talking about a tournament that's going on in Canada right now, and it's the Women's World Cup. And I've watched Canada play.
Yeah,
I've watched a couple of games play. They come on at 4 o'clock. They start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Not many people are home. If you're PVRing women's soccer, then good for you, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen all the teams. I tried to watch France, tried to watch Brazil.
Yeah,
I watched Germany destroy Ivory Coast 10-0. But in all honesty, and I know FIFA's trying to make this tournament as big as they can and by inviting different nations and things like that, but the minnows are going to get smashed. Okay, it's not. I'm sorry to say it, but it's not like men's team minnows.
Yeah, like it's.
Germany's not beating anyone 10-0, 11-0 in men's. Even who you are, San Marino, whatever.
Yeah.
Not getting beat 11-0.
Yeah, the field's too big.
The field's too big.
And we don't mean the dimensions
of
the pitch.
Yeah.
We mean the field.
Is too big.
It's just too many. These teams. I get it.
Reggie, and they just expanded it.
Yeah. You know, and I know that we're trying to, you know, FIFA's doing a good job of, hold on, they're doing a good job of promoting this and so on.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I want to say that. Right? That's the only good thing. Right? But you know, obviously we know the women's game. We want to promote it. Absolutely, for sure. And that's in Canada. That's our, out of the two national teams, it's our better one in terms of what they do in the world stage. But
less teams, though.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, right? Some of these, I know, like, are we just trying to create this? And that's what it seems like. It's like they're trying to create this theater.
Yeah.
Whereas the beauty of we know, that's why we all watch and love sports, is that the theater creates itself, you know?
Right.
And so it's been great. Listen, great atmosphere at the stadiums.
Oh, yeah, packed.
You know, the viewership, like, I think there's the numbers of how many people are watching the games, especially, at, like, or in Canada, are fantastic. So, you know, sponsors are happy, broadcasters are happy, and hey, it's been good. But the field is like, there's just too many teams. Like, yeah, like you said, to have a team losing 10-0 and other teams just getting, you know, it's come a long way, but you know, it's still good. And for me, this artificial turf thing,
garbage,
it is. And you know, everyone's, you know, really getting on Abby Wambach in the United States.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. But
same with me.
It.
I mean, they would never play a men's tournament on turf.
It couldn't,
you know. And remember, they shouldn't.
Remember when teams were coming here and yeah, we have to roll in grass? Saying,
oh, they're changing it for Real Madrid. Good for Real Madrid.
Of course they are.
And good for that. We now can watch football where it's supposed to be played.
Well, that's what it is.
This is not a youth tournament. It's not, you know, we get it that we're here in Canada, especially, you know, if you're growing up playing, you're playing in whatever beer league, men's league, mm-hmm, you're playing as a kid, mm-hmm, you know. The alternative is crappy grass fields. No problem.
Right.
But these are professional World Cup athletes.
Right.
They should be playing on grass.
Of course they should.
And maybe, hey,
men, women, yeah, aliens, whatever. And if it's FIFA, it should be on grass.
Yeah. And Abby Wambach is 100% right for me.
100%.
If it was men, they would never have that.
You got these countries like Ivory Coast and Nigeria coming from Africa, even South America, maybe. I'm sure this is the first time they're seeing turf.
This is just...
Yeah, and then, and now, like, now go play the United States or Germany on this surface you've never played on, and good luck.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we're trying to get credibility here, and you know, they want to make it look the part. How is that's? I mean, obviously it's not that way. I mean, it's saying something.
It's ridiculous.
You know, like, get it off the turf.
I mean, I don't know if there's enough. Well, I don't even know if there's any major stadiums in Canada that are grass, other than BMO.
Yeah, is Commonwealth.
No, usually, it's turf.
Yeah, I mean, because I know it's turf now, but it used to be grass, didn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Ottawa, no.
But I know Montreal, the Impact playing at grass. They just built the Saputo Stadium, no?
And they don't even play the games there. They're playing them at the Olympic Stadium. Like, they're like, playing it at a place where we tried to get rid of.
It's been around since, I heard something on the other day when they were talking about it. It's like, it was built in 76.
Yeah, for the 76 games. They just finished paying it like a couple of years ago.
And. It's a retractable roof, and they can't open the roof because they might not be able to get it closed.
Way to go.
And it's,
hey,
just
guys,
like, what the hell?
Got a convertible Mustang, but guess what?
Can't open the roof.
Yeah, so, but it's convertible.
Because it might not close.
You know, I mean.
And this is where we're playing Women's World. This is where Brazil is playing a team.
Oh, and by the way, we don't have a game about in Canada's National Soccer Stadium.
Well, this is it, right?
Toronto, like.
This is it.
Welcome to the World Cup. I mean, listen. It's been good. We're not trying to knock it.
No, not at all.
In the sense of that. But come on, guys. I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do it right.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, hey, the stories of the players has been great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been awesome. They've done a good job of marketing it. And mm-hmm, we're going to be cheering. You know, Canada plays Switzerland on Sunday. It'd be great. Then the win for the country. And listen, just a little aside here. I love John Herdman. I think he's great.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I think he's a great coach. And
coach of the Canadian women's national team.
Yeah. Fantastic. But I think a lot of this thing has been about him. Maybe that's his strategy.
To keep the pressure off.
Yeah, I think that's probably off. It's well calculated.
Yeah.
But I like hearing about the players. No disrespect to John Herdman. I think he's great.
He's a good coach.
But just on his side.
I was telling my dad, it was just like, he's like, they played bad. And I was like, dad, these women were terrible 3-4 years
ago. Yeah, he's changed them.
It was pump the ball up to Sinclair and hope that she scores. Yeah. Now you can see them working the ball.
There's some type of rhyme or reason.
Yeah, they're working the ball, one, two touches up the field and getting an opportunity. And it's fun. It's nice to watch.
And I've noticed their fitness levels have gone up. Just even physically, they look different.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like physically, they just look like, wow, they look the part.
It's bringing in the mentality that it's not just tiki-taka. You got to go into the gym and do this.
Yeah.
If you're weak, if you always have a hamstring injury, you got to strengthen it and strengthen your quads as well.
There's a reason, right? So they've done a great job with that, for sure.
For sure they have. And it's nice to watch. I think they play fantastic because it's not just kick it up to Sinclair anymore.
Yeah.
It's actually, hey, let's, if we have to make 10 passes to get this ball to Sinclair. We're going to make 15.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's the way you play soccer.
Yeah, that's what's, you know, the women's game has become more technical. It's become better. The coaching is better, you could tell. So now, it's great.
I don't know if it's anything that, you know, the United States gets everything right eventually.
Yes, they do.
So I don't know if it's taking a page out of their book.
I think it's a couple of things too, for sure, you know. But I think it's the women now have leagues to play in. They're playing in professional leagues.
Exactly.
They're playing in the States. They're playing, right. You know, like we have a few Canadian players playing in England,
right.
Like Desiree Scott and mm-hmm. so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give John Herb, like you said, he's changed the culture.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, they've been together for a long time now in preparation for this
mm-hmm.
World Cup. And you got young players like, you know, Jessie Fleming, she's 17 years old.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Yeah, you can tell. She's going to be a great player. Yep. Kadisha Buchanan might be the best center back in the world.
She's amazing. She could play in some of our leagues.
She's fantastic. and I believe, don't quote me on it, yeah. I know she's from Brams United in Brampton. Her and Ashley Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
yep. who scored a great goal.
Right.
And by the way, was a great player as well. I think they're 95 borns. I think they're like 19, 20 years old there.
Yeah,
those two are. Is the future bright? The future is very bright. John Herdman has said, you know, Sophie Schmidt.
Yeah,
might be one of the best midfielders in the world.
But I
agree.
I like watching her play.
Yeah, she's a good player.
Yeah, she has that vision. It's just like she can't make. She's not. She can't see that over. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
She did it.
She got it.
Yeah.
She did it.
I mean,
and it's like okay.
And we do have, like we said, we know Christine Sinclair's quality.
Right.
The one who's standing out the most for me is Khadija Buchanan.
Yeah.
Like, she's
solid.
For me, she's changing. She's revolutionizing the way that position is played for women.
Solid back there.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And she goes. She's in the States somewhere at school.
I want to say West Virginia. I might be wrong. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it might be West Virginia, actually.
I'm probably wrong, but she's a great.
No, I think you're right, actually. Yeah. I think it is West Virginia.
And Ashley Lawrence is like, she's technical. She, you know, gets in the box. She can win tackles. She's athletic.
Right.
So good for them. The future is definitely bright. I mean, we're pulling for them, right? Like, you know, ladies
sure
are doing a great job. And
for sure.
We want, you know, to keep cheering them on. And I think either way, it's been successful.
It was so frustrating 5 years ago, but now they've turned it around. So
yeah,
good sure. on them. Good luck. They play on Sunday in Vancouver.
Yeah, against Switzerland.
So hopefully we can smash them and keep it moving.
It'd be nice. It would be nice. We need something to cheer for.
I would love to see a USA Canada final so we can avenge that Olympic robbery.
Yeah.
But we won't.
We'll see, because there's good teams. Germany,
yeah, France.
Japan,
I watch France play, and they're another team that's just like, yeah, we're going to keep the ball until we get the right opportunity to score.
Just like Japan, you know, defending World Cup champions. They're a good
team. It's good to watch. So if you guys haven't been watching Women's World
check
Cup, I mean, it's definitely check it out now, because we're in the round of 16. Is it 16?
Yeah, round of 16.
Round of 16.
Sure.
So all the preliminary games are done, and all the teams that made it out are playing against each other now. So you're going to see some good soccer. If you're looking for a Suarez type player or a Messi type player, you might not get it, but it's still good soccer. So definitely check it out. So, okay. Joe.
I'm gearing up for next week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Guys, I'm telling you, next week, we're not even, no news, no top five.
Transfer
fever. Going straight into it. And I know our buddy, Edson, he's just been like, have you guys done the transfer show yet? I'm like, no, not yet.
He's
chomping at the bit, ready to get this thing on. And every day that we don't do this show, it's just another rumor comes out, and it's like, Falcao's going to Sorry, we're not going to talk.
Yeah, we'll talk.
We're not
going to
talk about
But we'll
that.
Talk. Hey, a lot of our teams that we both cheer for, that we all cheer for here, they're going after the same guys.
Exactly.
It'll get heated.
And we can talk about how they fit in tactically, because it's not like Man City of the past, where it's just like, big name, bring them in. Ah, but we already have five strikers. That doesn't matter. Big name, bring them in. So now we got six. Now we got Dzeko, Jovetic, we got Boney, we got Aguero. And we're playing with one striker. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And you got all three of them on the bench. So out of your six substitutions, three of them are strikers. Okay. But anyways, so we're going to talk about players coming into teams and how they fit in tactically with that squad, and what the best situation for those players would be. And I can't wait for this show, Joe.
Yeah, because every day that goes by, like there'll be more and more.
That's
so
it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Listen, this is part of. It's probably sometimes more interesting than some of the games. I'll tell you that much.
Definitely. And we might. Well, actually, you know what? I think we're going to wait for the week after show to talk about Copa America, which is going on right now.
And we'll also talk about Canadian men who are made it to the next round of Canadian of qualifying. So we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. Gold Cup's coming up. Under 21 Euros or World Cup. Under 21 Euros is going on.
Yeah.
Under 20 World Cup is going on.
Pan Am Games.
And so it's a lot of stuff going on. And the league start a little bit earlier this year as well because they have to get them done for next year's Euro tournament. Yeah. So, I mean, we got another 5-6 weeks before English Premier League starts. So,
that's right.
I mean, these guys are fast and furious. And I honestly thought, Joe, we were going to take, you know, during the summer, and we'll probably
do one show a month, maybe two shows a month.
But there's always something to talk
about. Football is 12 months around a year, right?
Always something to talk about this year, and especially.
If you tune in next week, we got a heated topic discussion that we can bring up. We can talk about the Copa America and Euro championships that are. Might be, well, you'll find out, might be going head-to-head.
Oh, really?
And it's a sponsor thing, so we'll talk about that for sure.
Oh, yes. Yes. Love it. Yeah. Love it. So, Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Reggie.
I always think it's better when you're here.
So I need all the help we can get. You sound better like this. It's good.
So, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next week.
See you next week.